Well, greetings, brethren. Welcome to everyone here and on the webcast. Glad to see you and glad to be seen. I want to thank Ernest for leading me a couple of scriptures. Actually, it wasn't that many, but it just seemed like it. He asked me for some advice, and he did exactly opposite of what I said, and he did fine. He wanted to know how to stall for time. I said, just listen to me. Well, brethren, the title of this particular message for this morning is Time Grows Shorter. Just like this week went by very fast as I prayed for God to guide me to come up with some things to talk about. You know, brethren, in theory, it's supposed to be the fall season of the year. And last week or two, it's felt like springtime and summertime. And today, it feels a little bit like fall. But winter time it's slowly creeping up on us also. And we know that the Feast of Tabernacles is over with, and last great day, the eighth day, it came and it went. And you know what is coming next. Winter time is about to enter our lives. And not only do we have to face all that winter time will give us this year, but now we are facing for the first time COVID-19 as it continues to haunt us. I thought about this. It's this kind of virus that we have experienced that has now changed our way of thinking, a way that it has made us aware that our lives, as we have come to know it in our lives, in our time, our lives have changed. Reminds me of what Dorothy said in the movie The Wizard of Oz, that was based upon the movie, or the book by L. Frank Baum, B-A-U-M. When she landed, her house landed, she opened the door, she looked out, she told Toto, I believe his name, the dog, she said, "We're not in Kansas any longer. We're not in Kansas anymore." And that's about what we're facing right now. We have stepped outside of what is considered the norm. We have entered a new place that is unfamiliar, and it is very uncomfortable. It's kind of like we stepped into the twilight zone. For now, we will go through that time where our concern for our daily routines of life will continue to be influenced one way or the other by this virus. As to how we are about to go about our business one day at a time, just to exist. Wearing masks, not wearing masks. Going here, going there. Doing this, doing that. And so we're about to face a few months of winter time. And it can bring about a dullness. It can be rather depressing, like a tug of war. That can create a void, if you will, brethren, in our wills and our desires and our purposes, to even want to see beyond the struggles of life, particularly when wintertime comes along. We have to think about paying those heating bills. We have to think about paying the cost of, I call it, cost of existing. We have to stay warm. One has to be fed to maintain a reasonable degree of good health, physically, mentally. but especially spiritually. All this will occur. The challenges that we could allow to hinder our spiritual growth, of our hope and of our vision of tomorrow, to literally take a second or third place in our minds because we're so busy trying to exist in the wintertime. We may forget that we are supposed to be spiritual people, and it could take second and third in our importance because we're trying to survive. We could really forget what is really, or should be really important to us. And that is simply developing the mind of God. I found this scripture in Ephesians 4, verse 15. And found it in the Berean Literal Bible translation. And in Ephesians 4, verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, it says we should grow up in all things into Him who is the Lord, who is the head." Speaking of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's saying, let this mind being in you, which was also in Jesus Christ when He walked this earth, in Philippians 2, verse 5. We've got to let God's way, God's thinking, guide us every day, especially during this time. Every day, of course, but during the winter months especially. And I was writing this down. I said, well, what else can we do? You want to be warm. You out there, you want to be fed. We would love to be challenge free of all the problems, the troubles, the worries, the stresses, the doubts and fears that we may experience now and then. We would love to be free of that. But it reminds me of an old soap opera that used to come on. It may still come on. Like the sands of the hourglass, brethren, so are the days of our lives. Every day we must live. We must think. Be guided by God's Spirit of how to think. Situations come up. But we do have only one life to live in the physical sense. And how we here today and out there in the webcast, how we today live this one life in this flesh can determine to a certain extent if we will live in the world to come of God's government. Through the coming kingdom of God. We all want to be there, but we've got to learn how to think as God does. I want you to stay with me for a while, brethren. It seems that our free will of thought tends to be overly concerned about life. What you have, you want to keep it. You don't want somebody or some people to take your stuff. That's important. But God says, do not worry about tomorrow. Take a chill pill. Slow down. Don't forget during the hustle and bustle of everyday life to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His way of thinking, brethren. And all these things that we need in life will be added unto you, like your daily needs, but it will be in God's way, God's manner, and God's time. Matthew 6:24. Friends, are you going to dare these stressful times that we do live under to destroy you spiritually, to empty you of the hope and the vision of a better world that is coming. We've learned that during the Feast of Tabernacles. We know a better world is coming. But are we going to allow these stressful times to control our way of thinking? You know, stress and worry, I've heard this before, but I believe it. Stress and worry are faith killers. It can destroy you. It can destroy your thoughts. It can destroy what's really important and should be important to you. It can destroy us, brethren, if we allow it to be so. And yet, with the knowledge that you and I possess of God's truth right here today in the webcast, we need to cling to that hope and our personal vision of tomorrow that is coming. And that, really, brother, most people in this world are not aware of. We have this special understanding, if you will. Most people don't grab it, don't understand it. But we do. You and I need God's hope. It's God's hope, brother. We need God's vision that will help us. And of course, it will help lead us to the victory of entering God's kingdom. It is that hope that gives us vision. And if we allow it, it can be constant in us. Every day we can allow that hope and that vision to be in us through the ups and through the downs of this life. Because we look for immortality. We look for the kingdom of God. And you know, brethren, you know you want it. We all want it. But God's just not going to just give it to you. In the New International Version of Romans 15, verse 13, it simply says in Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope, see, the God of hope, his hope, may it fill you, brethren, with all joy and all peace, as you, now this is your free will, as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with that hope, with that vision, by the power, brethren, of God's Spirit. I found in Psalms 31, verse 24, God says in Psalms 31, verse 24, it says, be strong and let, well, there's that free will again, and let your heart take courage, especially in these stressful times that we are under. All of you who hope in the Lord. We had the Feast of Tabernacles come and gone, but it should have helped give us the vision and the hope of the coming world, as we used to call it, the world tomorrow. But during these stressful months that we are going through and will go through, I think we need to keep on growing spiritually, using God's eyes. Not just our own eyes, but using God's eyes, using God's vision in a world that is full of negativity and hopelessness. I watch the news every day and I regret it every time I do. But I will. But Hebrews 6, verse 19 says this. We have this hope. This hope is our anchor of our lives. And God says this hope that He gives us, it is firm and it is secure. And yet, brother, we either allow stress and the challenges of faith and hope to rule and destroy us, allow stress and stuff to destroy us, or you will allow God's word, His commitment to you, help you keep the hope and the personal vision working in you. And it will require patience. Again, in Psalms 27:14, God says, Psalms 27:14, He says, wait patiently for the Lord. And while you're waiting, and while you have this hope and this vision, be courageous in it. These are nice words. But we have to pray to God to give them to us. For either we will do our part of seeking God's strength, or we will not. And where does that strength really come from? It comes from God's Spirit. We're very familiar with 2 Timothy 1:6 through 7. Where Paul was talking and he says, I remind you. Well, I'm reminding you, reminding me, just to kindle afresh the gift of God. Stir it up. And it's in you. That spirit, that power, brother. For God has not given us that spirit of fear, even though things are very fearful at this time. But God has given the spirit of a power, of His power, of His love, and the power of a self-controlled mind. Will we worry, be distressed, be frustrated, or will we do as God says, obey the laws of the land that will protect us and others? Right now, I'm speaking of COVID-19. How do you choose to handle stress, brother? Are we going to let it constantly worry you over the cares of this life? Or are we going to keep God's hope in your heart and in your mind? What are you going to do? You're going to do the best you can, letting God's Spirit and His ways, and this is free will, give you the hope and the personal vision of His coming kingdom. You're going to keep it in your heart and your mind every day. And you're going to do things that will help you remember God's ways. Because the stresses of this life can really drag you down. You don't even recognize it. But one way that I do is I have my own go-to verses, scriptures that keep my thoughts checked. I usually am a great fan of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. And I take it personally. Because in 1 Corinthians 2:9, and as I take it personally, God says, Alvin, Big Al, your eyes, they're not totally seeing everything. Your ears have not heard everything. Your mind cannot grasp fully everything that I have prepared for you. All of those, in essence, brethren, love God. I think about that scripture quite a lot. And so I ask, what is your go-to scripture or scriptures that give you hope and vision to carry on. If you don't have one, then search for it. Search for that scripture or scriptures that give you strength. They give you God's hope, God's vision to carry on in your own stressful lives or things that go on in your life. And in your occasional weariness in well-doing, seek it and you will find it. Let's turn to Isaiah 55 for a moment. I want to read this. Isaiah 55, verse 6. You seek this scripture or these things that will help you. Well, Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, God says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. And in Matthew 7, verse 7, let's read that. God says, in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and that door will be opened to you. Brethren, we need to seek God's vision and God's help and God's hope to carry on. God wants you to be happy. Happiness is up and down in our lives. But God wants you to be happy and to have a continued joy as we can have. But when we don't seek it, and unless that joy is in God's word and his truth, his plan, his vision, that joy could possibly just fade away from you. But we dwell too much on the stresses and the problems of this life. But God says, seek his joy, and you will find it. Because happiness could very well fade from us because of life struggles. Will tend to bear down on us more if we're not seeking God. And you could lose that hope and the willingness, brethren, to want to continue on. Have you ever experienced that at all in one form or the other? I mean, I have. I'm not telling you something up here that I haven't done and gone through. A willingness sometimes just to forget it for a while. We must pray for joy and that vision and that hope. That especially at this time of year, in my opinion, could very well drag us down mentally and spiritually. In Psalms 119, verse 2, God says, Psalms 119, verse 2, he says, blessed or happy are those who keep his law and seek or search him with all your hearts. My question to each one of us: are you seeking God and his hope and his vision? Sometimes it's hard to get into the mood after the feast. But are you seeking God's hope, and will you? This is our time, brethren, to seek God, to put on his mind and his heart and his attitude. Now. But why? Let's jot down 1 Peter 1:24. Why should we be seeking God? Because brethren, your life is fleeting. We only are given so much time. But life is fleeting away, and if our hope and our vision is in this world only, you could very well lose that hope and the drive to endure to your end. Not when Christ comes, but to your end. Because life is fleeting. We only have that time that God gives us. And I thought about that and I said, well, will each one of us always remember that God does have His plan? His plan that is far better, brethren, than we can imagine. And that plan, it goes beyond. I want you to think about this. His plan goes beyond this training ground that we're living in right now. Because we're here to learn, to develop, and to build the mind of God. For one day, brother, your training ground will end. And either you are now part of God's purpose, now, or you are not. Either you are growing in the grace and the knowledge of God and to think like God, or you're not. Brethren, perhaps you have witnessed people over the years walk away from this narrow path of God. In Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, God calls this is a narrow way, and few there be can find it or will live it. But we've seen people walk away from this narrow path for one reason or the other. We've seen people turn from the true God because life became, at least as I have saw it, life became too hard to continue on fighting the stresses of this life and obeying God at the same time. Perhaps some thought that maybe they had bargained for something that they didn't realize would happen. But God did say, you count the cost. Luke 14:28. You count the cost. And so as people therefore lose that hope, that vision that was given them at one time, I have seen many walk away and return to the path they came out of. That will once again conform to the ways of this world and ignore or forgot what God said earlier. Do not be conformed to this world. Romans 12, verse 2. Do people think that God will have mercy on them? Do they think that they are part of this teaching that God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy? I can't answer that. I don't know. But do people want to be on that fence of uncertainty? Because they walk away from God. Well, God understands. God promises everyone in time eternal life. But I wonder if one walks away from God, fully aware of what they're doing, and they walk away from this way of life, will God give them this gift? I'm not God. I don't know. But I do know this. 2 Peter 2:21. For in 2 Peter 2:21, and I'll read this out of the Berean Study Bible translation. God says it would have been better not to have known the way of righteousness then know it, and then turn away from it. And that holy law that was delivered to you. Therefore, God says this, why call your God your Father, and Christ your Savior and your Master, and do not the things I say to do, in Matthew 24:13. And here is a plain truth, if you will, to all who choose to obey God and follow Him. No matter what. What does God say we need to do? You call Him your Lord and your Master, but He says, you don't do what I say. The New International Version. This is what God said. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. In the New King James Version, God says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. The Berean Literal Bible translation says we should hold fast to the confession of our hope, unwavering, for the one having promised us eternal life, brethren, he is faithful. But if you're not there, he can't keep that promise to you. And so I wondered as I was writing this down, are you convinced that this is God's truth, His way? And do you understand why we have trials? Challenges, if you will, that go from one end of the line to another. New King James Version, the 1 Peter 1:7. 1 Peter 1:7 reads as follows. Why do we have trials? That the genuineness, the sincerity of your faith, which is more precious than gold, and will perish, though it be tested by fire, it will sooner or later, as everything else physical, will vanish. But the genuineness of your faith may be found to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ when He returns. Your faith, your will to endure all the stresses and the problems of this life. And if need be, will you remain faithful, having kept that hope and that vision and that patience to your death, to the return of Christ? Will Christ see that faith and His Spirit still working in you when He returns? Reminds me of that scripture of Luke 18:8. Will Christ see this persistent, enduring faith, brethren, when He returns? Well, hopefully He will. Brethren, either one will willingly endure the ups and the downs of this life, always seeking God's help in our trials and our problems and our challenges, help to endure, and always thanking God for His mercy when He has endured, when He has intervened in your life. Because we are weak. God says, give Him thanks and glory. We're always praying, brethren, for spiritual strength, for patience, for His hope and His vision tomorrow. Either we will do this, or we will not. And brethren, if we don't, This is giving Satan the advantage to devour you, giving him the upper hand, if you will, giving him the foothold that he looks for to draw you away from God. Find that in Ephesians 4, 27. What is a foothold, brother? What does that mean? A foothold is a strong position from which further progress can be made. So if we give Satan the advantage, if he sees a weakness in you, he's going to take that foothold and he's going to create more problems one way or the other. Because he doesn't want you to develop the mind of God. But here again, it's up to you how you think. But brethren, as time grows shorter, as we will read in Revelation 12, verse 12, Satan knows his time is shorter. But shorter to do what, brethren? A short time to seek us out, to search for those amongst us, if you will, brethren, who may be spiritually weak, depressed, frustrated, who may be or stay depressed, weary of well-doing, frustrated, who are not asking God for his hope, for his patience, his faith, and his vision of God's promises to us. Think about these things, brethren. Satan seeks us out. All those who allow themselves to be weary. Well, we're all weary. We get weary, but we don't want to stay that way. That's why we ask for hope, strength, vision. Satan seeks those who allow themselves to be weary and just can't seem to want to get out of it. Get weary and fight in his flesh. Satan time grows shorter. Take advantage of those who perhaps deep down in their own thoughts may get tired of the Sabbath. May get tired of the holy days. May get tired now and then of warming seats when they are at services. May get tired sometimes of hearing truth, but never really listening. Let's not fall into the place that we read of in Matthew 13, 15. Good advice way back then, good advice now. For Matthew 13 says, "For this people, their hearts have grown callous, tired of hearing this." They get it. They harden their thoughts. "For this people, hearts have grown callous, and they hardly hear this word anymore. Because familiarity sometimes can breed contempt, or you're someplace else right now in your mind and your thoughts." Satan's time grows shorter, brethren. The pressures of this life increase. They become more intense, and perhaps we forget God says, "You will have to endure. You must endure. God knows, must know, where are you? Will you obey God through thick and thin? You will have to endure to receive, brethren, your crown of glory." As you were reading 1 Peter 5, 4. And yet, knowing all of this, How easy is it just to walk away, go over here, go over there, or go nowhere? What I have called playing church. Till frustrations and trials conquer people's thoughts and minds. And then the usual path is just to leave. I could go on and on and on with this train of thought. But simply put, if you and I will stay close to God, and I think to understand the times that we're living in, if we will pray to our Father, if we will study His Word and follow those tools of the trade, if you will, and asking God for His hope, and His patience, His faith, His vision of God's kingdom, God will keep that promise. He'll keep it to you. Philippians 1:6. It says in Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in you, He will perform it as the day comes of the return of Christ. God will keep His promise. And what is that good work that Satan is trying to stop you in right now? Philippians 2:5. He's trying to stop us in letting this mind be in you, working in you, which was in Jesus Christ. You know, brethren, we have been called for this purpose. I want you to turn 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Verse 20 and 21. Let me read this. 1 Peter 2, 20 and 21. We've been called this way of life. For it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 20 and 21, For what credit is it when you are beaten for your fault? You take it patiently. You take it patiently. But when you do the best you can, you follow God, and you still suffer. You still have trials. You still have problems. You still have challenges. If you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called. Because Christ suffered, He set our example that you should follow His steps. Narrow is the path we must take. And so, brethren, our hope, our drive, and our faith, and our vision is this: to never forget Romans 8, verse 31. Never forget this. Maybe this could be one of your scriptures to look at when we see hope. For if God is for us, and He is, who can be against us?